Guru Nation, welcome to episode 790 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. This episode, I go through some of the more common jobs in clinical research, specifically CRA, Clinical Research Associate, and CRC, Clinical Research Coordinators, but also a couple others and just the basic job requirements because I realize a lot of people are still confused out there. So just a few of the basics here. There's probably a few things here as well for some of the more experienced people in the space. Let me know what you think. Let me know if I'm missing anything. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Thank you so much for listening. Really quick, wanted to give a shout out to my first sponsor, Inato. Inato's an amazing place. I just spent like an hour on there, getting one of my pulmonologists some new studies. You do need prior therapeutic area expertise, but Inato is really a free place for sites to get studies and found by some of the sponsors out there. So go check it out. Absolutely no cost, nor do they get involved in the budgets or anything like that. And the next sponsor, Creo. Thank you so much, Creo, for helping me manage my site, helping me manage my eReg, my eSource, my CTMS, my auto texting, my eConsent. They even have payment options for patients, which I haven't used. I've used a lot of their features over these last 3 years, and I still haven't used them all. Luckily for me and everyone that uses Creo, you only pay for what you use, and you can grow into it like a good yoga pose. So thank you very much, Creo. Hopefully you enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Guru Nation, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, share. If you're listening, same thing. I am live on TikTok because I hear it's good advice to go live on TikTok. It's like the second time there. So for those that want to, wander on the wild side with TikTok, you can follow me there. Same name, Dan Sfera. This is a topic today, guys. Chris Sauber told me, hey, this would be a good one. He's my business partner. My other business partner, Ashley Margo, said, yeah, that would be a good one. Matter of fact, here's some more info for it. So I'm actually prepared for once to do these. And I have notes in front of me. So there are many different positions in clinical research industry. And it's amazing how people are not knowledgeable about like what the job entails. For example, with our CRA Academy students, so shameless plug to the CRA Academy students, a lot of people don't realize CRAs travel a lot. Like, there's a lot of travel required to be a CRA. This is one of the reasons why CRAs, why the turnover is so high, why CRA burnout is so high, and why it's such in demand, and why they can't keep enough CRAs, because to travel 20 days out of the month is insanity. And yet these CRAs do it, and they do it for the money, and who's to blame them? As you get more senior, you travel less. But the junior ones, like a lot of you guys and gals watching, you're striving to be CRA. I think it's important to know some of these things, like the basic position requirements. And that, like, nerds are going to say, well, at this company, CRAs don't have to do this. Yeah, I know. There's always like an exception. But for the most part, CRAs, clinical research associates, have to travel. And they have to travel like a good amount of time. And they have to take on a large workload. And they got to complete their monitoring visits reports. And they got to go do it again at the next site. And then even when they're at home, yes, it's home-based position. It's kind of misleading because, yeah, it's a home-based position because you don't have an office. Like, your home is your office, but 80% of the time, or what is it, 66% of the time, or 75, however you want to break it down, you're at a site somewhere doing a visit. Now, again, as you get more senior, they start doing some remote visits. They start making you like a CRA2, a CRA1, a lead CRA, whatever the ladders are at different organizations to try to keep the CRAs, to try to retain them longer. But it's actually like not well understood that CRAs have to travel a lot, like from a lot of our own students. There's another thing that
people don't consider about CRA, and that is you don't actually get involved with patients. Like, you don't deal with patients. You deal with derivatives of patients. You deal with, like, the paper associated with the patients or with the medical records associated with the patients. You don't deal with the actual patient like a clinical research coordinator would do. So, but a lot of CRAs are former nurses, like a lot of CRAs are former RNs or international medical graduates, and they've worked with patients and now they're ready. Like, you hear this a lot in the industry when it comes to CRAs. I worked a lot with patients, but now I'm ready. Like, I worked a lot at bedside, but now I'm ready to work on the other side of it, on the clinical research side. And same thing with coordinators. With coordinators, it's mostly dealing with patients. And someone's asking me right now on TikTok, do you see phlebotomists becoming CRCs? Absolutely. My coordinator that works with me right now here, she was sitting in this very seat before I got in here. Grecia, who I need to do a video with her soon because people are forgetting who she is. She was a phlebotomist. Brad Hightower, who owns a research clinic, a really big research clinic in Oklahoma, he started out as a phlebotomist. So there's transferable skills, but there's also, like, for these different positions, it's important to be knowledgeable about what the job requirements actually are for the most part. So the big jobs are, like, the well-known names for research jobs are CRA and CRC. But there's other ones, too, that usually come via one of these two roles. But there are data management, and those are still remote jobs. There are project managers. There are in-house CRAs that don't travel. There are study startup specialists that don't travel. There are medical monitors that usually require some type of MD degree. It could be international, but it usually requires some kind of MD degree. Those are, like, some of the lesser known jobs. But really, if we focus on CRA and CRC for this video, and maybe a few others sprinkled in based on the questions from TikTok, who Kiki says, I'm a CRC. My degree was in social services. Yeah, a lot. Like, if you have a bachelor's and you're a coordinator, you could actually be a CRA if you want. And so it's important for a lot of newbies out there to understand what these job functions actually are. So again, CRA, a lot of travel. CRC, almost no travel. Another question I'm getting, do you believe the clinic research industry is heavily saturated as an experienced CRC? At the site level, it's not saturated. At the CRO level, it might be right now. Someone else says, how long should I be a CRA before moving to the sponsor side? As soon as you can, I would move to the sponsor side. With a master's in public health, I'm having trouble moving up. You got to do more networking. I think LinkedIn is the place to be. I work with Haley. Oh, Haley at MSB Neuroscience Network. Thank you so much, Kiki. I think I met you, right? At SOS, or maybe not. But in either case, like, there's a lot of misinformation out there. Like, CRA is portrayed as all glamour. We fly all the time. We get to eat at the nice hotels. Look, you are stressed out of your mind when you're a CRA. And when you get more senior, you can do more things remotely. And you can eventually do things like lead CRA or team lead or line manager. But CRA, no patient involvement, a lot of travel. CRC, almost no travel, a lot of patient engagement. Like, your entire role, your entire job is basically dealing with patients. Somebody said, what's the benefit of working for a sponsor instead of CRO? You're more invested in the platform, in the IP, and generally, the sponsors treat their staff better than the CROs. That may be starting to change out of necessity. Thank you so much for watching. And thank you for all for following on TikTok. Apparently, TikTok's a great place to do this kind of stuff. Make sure you guys follow me on TikTok. I'm trying to break 10,000 followers there. So CRA, almost like the only people CRAs deal with external to their organization, whether they work at a sponsor or a CRO, are site level people. So coordinators. CRA and CRC relationship is like the most important in this industry. And then they deal with principal investigators. Do CRAs get involved with study vendors? Yes. Matter of fact, some of the best CRAs are out there helping the coordinators deal with vendor issues. We had an issue today at our site where my CRC had an issue with the investigational product. I believe that we accidentally shipped back one of the investigational products, returned it back to the sponsor when we shouldn't have. The CRA got involved, helped us out, told us how to work it out, worked it out with the IRT. This happens all the time with the good CRAs. CRCs, they deal with patients. So at least at my site, and I know a lot of other sites out there, the CRCs, you got to have better interpersonal skills, I think. Like, you don't necessarily need to be an extrovert to be a CRC, because I would say 3 out of the 4 coordinators that work for me are, they skew introvert, but they all know how to deal with patients. They all know how to overcome objections from patients. They all know how to get patients screened, get patients randomized. CRAs don't really need to do that. They work with CRCs. And there's a level of trust and influence that they have to have over the site if they want things done for themselves as well. Somebody's asking me right now on TikTok, I'm a bio major in college right now. Would you recommend being a CRC as my first job? Yes, absolutely. You won't get a CRA job off the bat. You might get like a study startup specialist or an in-house CRA or a remote site monitor. None of those roles involve travel. CRA, travel. Like, if you hear CRA, you should just think travel. Somebody says, how many years should you spend in each role? CRA 1, CRA 2, senior CRA, before becoming a CTM or a lead monitor? As long as you think you need. Like, if you can get there quick and that's your goal, get there quick via networking. Don't stay longer than you need to. I would say 3 years in each would be good. It's just my opinion, but results may vary. Different angles. Like, these are not like set in stone rules. It's just things I've noticed. Now, both CRA and CRC and everyone else too, like study startup specialist and now CRA, they have to know how to use certain technologies like Outlook. Outlook, especially on the CRO side and the sponsor side, is critical that you understand how to use Outlook, how to send calendar invites. What other tools are you going to use if you're a CRA? CTMS systems. And by the way, shout out to Ashley Margo for this, because she teaches our CRA Academy students this very thing. You can find all these platforms, like you can find all the demos to these on YouTube. So just go on YouTube and put, what does a CTMS system in clinical research look like? You'll find something. If you don't find something, message me and I'll find that vendor and I'll make a video. But you can figure out what these things are. You can figure out how to use Outlook. Like Ashley told me, I don't know how many people I interact with that don't know how to use OneNote, Microsoft OneNote, and it's absolutely critical in clinical research when you work for a CRO or a sponsor to help optimize the clinical research workflow. And there's so many people that Ashley coaches in our CRA Academy that don't know how to use these things. You can learn how to use OneNote right now for free. Like, instead of watching this TikTok, or I appreciate it, after you're done, go on YouTube and figure out how to use OneNote. And then when you go interview for one of these roles, you can say, I know how to use OneNote. And you can even buy it and play around with it yourself. So Outlook, OneNote, some of the CTMS systems out there, that's going to be the hard one that you can't really play around with. But you can, if you're clever, You can network with people at those vendors and ask for a demo. You can disguise yourself as a sponsor and ask for a quote and ask for a demo if you want, or disguise yourself as a CRO, not saying to use that. All right. What's the benefit of using OneNote instead of Word? It's totally different. OneNote is more for how to structure, how to optimize the workflow and the templates, and it's more involved than Word. Obviously, Word and Excel and PowerPoint, you got to know how to use, whether you're a CRC or a CRA. So these are some of the job requirements that come to mind off the bat. Some of them at the site level would be vital signs. So if you don't know how to do vital signs, they'll train you. Drawing blood. If you don't know how, most sites will train you. We've trained all of our staff on how to do it, except for one, who was the aforementioned phlebotomist, Grecia, who joined us. She already knew how to draw blood because that was her career before research. But everyone else, we trained. We have Yuma's best phlebotomist that works with one of our PIs, and she took a weekend to train our staff. And we paid her for the training and the safety training, and now all the staff know how to draw blood successfully. They do it on a routine basis, myself included. So I didn't have a phlebotomy background, but I learned how to do this. If you work at a psychiatric clinic, you're eventually going to have to learn how to do psychometric rating scales, whether they're Columbia Severity Suicide Scales, or whether you have a bachelor's or maybe a more advanced degree like a master's or beyond. You're going to learn how to do some of the other scales, like a structured clinical interview interview diagnostic test, or a mini mental status exam, or a PANSS, positive and negative symptoms of schizophrenia. There's a lot of scales, like depending on the therapeutic areas. And that's another place where you got to get knowledgeable. You got to be knowledgeable on the therapeutic areas. So it's not just the fundamentals for your job, and it's not just the technology, but it's also the therapeutic area, because research is so hyper-specialized. It's actually rare that you, well, it may not be as rare, it's becoming more common, working for a multi-therapeutic research clinic where you can have dermatology experience. Like at my site right now, Yuma Clinical Trials, we do derm, we do psych, we do internal medicine, we do pulmonary, and we do cardio for now. Someone on TikTok said, have you heard of any companies that allow remote work in clinical trials in Jamaica? Not particularly in Jamaica, but I'm sure they exist. Is health informatics a good master's program to pursue as a new CRC in this field? Yeah, if you're already in this field and you're trying to advance, I think that would be a good one. Anything with omics is good. And that's where we get into therapeutic area expertise. So certain medical conditions, every single medical condition has their own gold standards. Like in derm, there's the SCORAD. I believe that's for atopic derm. In schizophrenia, there's the SCID. There's the PHQ-9, which is a standard depression scale for most studies. There's the Columbia Suicide Severity Rating Scale, which is standard for most studies. In cardio, they have their own universe. In oncology, they have their own universe of assessments and lingo. You got to learn all these things. In osteoarthritis, they have their own. They have WOMAC for pain. You're going to slowly start learning therapeutic areas. Katie, who's our lead CRC here, who's been here for almost 2 years, we had her quarterly review for her job. And one of the things that come up is say, hey, you've all the fundamental, you've got everything down, or even in a leadership position. But now I want you to start focusing more on the therapeutic area knowledge, because things come up like hypercholesterolemia and dyslipidemia. Well, they're the same thing. It's like saying hypertension and high blood pressure. But these are not obvious unless you work in the space for a significant period of time. Then it becomes obvious. And that's where the acronyms start coming in. Everyone starts spitting out acronyms for everything, assuming you know what that is. And you don't until you become an expert in that space. So these are the, there's a lot of different roles in this research. It's important for you to understand the basic job requirements for these things. My thoughts on certifications like SOCRA or like ACRP is they're not bad once you already have the job you want. So for example, if you know you're going to be a CRC for the foreseeable future, you should take the ACRP Certified Clinical Research Coordinator exam. You should have your employer pay for it. And if they won't, you should pay for it yourself anyways. What that's not going to do is help you get your first job, because the ACRP won't even let you sit for the test until you have at least 2 years of experience. Same thing with SOCRA. They're not going to let you sit for the test until you already have 2 years of CRA experience. By that point, who's actually going to want to do it? It's only the ones that actually have a long-term vested interest in their career. I've been in this industry since 2005. I don't have any of those certifications. Hasn't stopped me from getting opportunities. Now, I'm also not an employee. I'm an entrepreneur. If I were an employee, I probably would have already gotten CCRC and probably by now CCRA, Certified Clinical Research Associate, and probably by now another one. They have the Certified Clinical Research Professional. I would have had all of them by now, because I do think they're important, but they're not important for when most people, 90% of people are asking me about it, and it's I'm looking to get a job. Well, you just need experience, and you're not going to get a CRA role as your first job in research. You're probably going to get a CRC role or a study startup specialist role or an in-house CRA role. And in those roles, so we talked about CRC. Let's now, towards the end of this video, talk about in-house CRA and remote site monitor and study startup specialist. You're more than likely working from home, unless I think in the foreseeable future, a lot of the CROs are going to have people come back into the office to improve their company culture. I think translation of that is people work more in the office than they do at home. You're going to be dealing with Excel. You're going to be dealing probably with Microsoft Project. You're going to be dealing with something like Microsoft Teams, something similar to Slack, whether it's Yammer, Slack, some kind of group messaging thing, CTMS for sure, deliverables, Excel for sure. No matter what, you have to be super organized and super detail oriented. And you're probably going to have like a dozen portals with logins for you to have access to. And you're probably going to have, like in the case of a study startup specialist, you're probably going to have 30 to 50 sites that you need to get essential documents, so regulatory stuff, collected from each site. And every site's going to be missing something else at a different point in time. And you're going to have to be organized enough to know which site's missing what. And then you're going to have to be organized enough, well, this is coming back to the interpersonal skills, of reaching out to that site and telling them, hey, you know what? This is like the third time I've asked, but you got to do it nice and in a way that's persuasive. When can we get these deliverables? This is what we're missing. Let me know if I can help. A lot of these sites are busy. So the tone that you take and the method that you use to communicate might be less effective or more effective depending on the site. This is where the interpersonal relationships and interpersonal skills come into play. Same thing for remote site monitor, except you're doing some querying maybe. You're doing some regulatory. You're filing in the trial master file. So it's a lot of tech, and it's a lot of like being organized, and it's a lot of requesting things from the site. And if you're as a CRC, it's a lot of dealing with patients, making sure patients are compliant, dealing with all the vendors that you have to deal with, both from the sponsor and internally at your own organization, whether it's eSource. You might have your own CTMS. Like, we use Creo at my site. So Creo is an eSource and a CTMS system. Then you're going to have to deal with all the sponsor portals as well. So there's a lot of initial requirements for these roles that you may not be aware of that I hope this video prepares you for. And do your due diligence. Go on YouTube, especially a lot of you guys and gals on the tech side are not knowing what some of these things are, like OneNote. Just watch a tutorial on OneNote. You could probably find courses on Coursera for this stuff. Microsoft might even have like free courses on how to use these things. I know Google has like free courses for YouTube creators. They have courses, at least they used to have courses for like Google Sheets, Google Documents. Why not do those things? If you could prove that you know how you're proficient in some of those things, even better. If you can't find those things and you can just watch videos on YouTube, at least you can still put on your resume, I know how to use these things. Like I'm proficient, or at least I'm familiar with OneNote, Outlook, or whatever other CTMS systems you use. So just be prepared for a lot of these things. CRA, a lot of travel. CRC, very little travel, but patient interaction. CRA needs to know their protocol really well. CRCs need to master several protocols really well. CRCs also need to deal with CRAs and patients and PIs and vendors. CRAs need to deal with all of the above except patients. And then all the jobs that there were at the CROs or sponsors that are not CRA, they still rely on tech, communications, CTMS systems, etc. Guru Nation, thank you so much for watching. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Follow me on TikTok. I'm trying to break 10K right there. If you're watching right now live on TikTok and you're not following me, please do. 10K subs. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.